Thank you to the worship team for focusing our hearts and our minds back on the Lord this morning. Would you pray with me as we open up His Word? Father in heaven, as we think about this season, the Advent season beginning, and thinking about our hope in Christ, Your Word points us to Christ, all of Your Word. So I pray this morning that You would show us Christ again through Your Word. Encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If God offered you anything you wanted, what would you ask for? Think about it. If God said to you, "Ask, what shall I give you?" How would you respond? What was the first thing that popped into your mind? Was it more money, healing from cancer, a new job, a new house, a new car? Maybe a spouse, or a loved one to be saved. You know, there's endless possibilities depending on your particular circumstances or stage in life. And one aspect, a major aspect of our prayer life is petition. We make requests before the Lord. And these requests often reveal what's in our hearts, the desires of our hearts. We have items on our prayer list that we want, and most of those are often physical and temporary in nature. There are things we want and need, situations where we cry out for the Lord to help us. We face many struggles in this life, right? Trials, things that are hard to navigate, times where we need to make a decision and are unsure of how to move forward. This year, I've been looking at prayer of various people and situations in the Bible. Earlier in the year, we looked at the prayer of King Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord in a time of uncertainty. We looked at the prayer of Jonah, the wayward prophet who found himself crying out to the Lord in the belly of a whale. We looked at the Lord's high priestly prayer and how the Lord prayed that His people would be sanctified and unified. And today we're going to continue by looking at a memorable prayer from the life of King Solomon. Solomon's prayer includes a request for something we should all desire and we truly need. So this morning, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord for His invaluable gift of wisdom. Turn with me in your Bibles or swipe to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 3 to 14. And yes, it is Advent, the first day of Advent, and we are going to look at this passage and see how it directs our hearts ultimately to Christ. So follow along. I'm going to read verses 3 to 14. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. This prayer shows us Solomon's request before the Lord, God's response, and then we're going to look at the practical application of Solomon's wisdom. But who was King Solomon? The third king in Israel. The first king, you may remember, was King Saul, and then his son David, and then the throne was passed on to Solomon. His father David was known as the man after God's own heart, yet David was imperfect, committing adultery with Bathsheba, and Solomon was the son of that relationship. Solomon, in verse 3, is described as he loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father, but he was often very inconsistent too. He loved the Lord and walked in his statutes, but he had other loves in his heart. We see that at the beginning of chapter 3, tells us about Solomon. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Solomon was not supposed to intermarry with a foreign nation, and ultimately these marriage alliances he makes with these foreign women lead to his downfall. Solomon had these great high moments, which we're going to see this morning, but then he had very, very low moments. He was commended here, though, even though he walked inconsistently with the Lord. We read in verse 3 that Solomon went up to these high places to offer sacrifices. These high places were these locations, like a hill or a mountain, where there were shrines, and these were used for pagan worship, for the worship of other gods. Sacrifices to gods such as Baal, you remember, a foreign god in the Old Testament. But sometimes they were used by the Israelites when there was no place of worship. So Solomon goes there as his temporary place to give worship, offering thousands of burnt offerings on the altar. Now, the significance of this place, Gibeon, it goes back to another passage in Chronicles about what's happening here. Just listen as I read from 2 Chronicles 1:3. And Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for the tent of meeting of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness, was there. In other words, Moses had built this place, this tent of meeting here at Gibeon. And so Solomon is going to this significant place. And at Gibeon, the scriptures tells us that he has this dream at night. And the Lord appears before him and says to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" The Lord Almighty, the creator of the entire universe, the uncreated one, stoops down to his creation and says to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give you." But Solomon doesn't respond immediately with a list of wants. Instead, he responds in worship to God. Look at how he responds. Look at verse 6 again at what Solomon says. He said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day." Solomon is praising God for his great and steadfast love that was shown to his father David. David commended for walking in faithfulness, righteousness, and uprightness. Isn't it interesting, though, if you think about David's life, think about Solomon's life, how God uses imperfect people to fulfill his plans? There were often these temporary conditional promises based on their obedience. But then there were covenant promises that God would fulfill regardless of how they were obedient or not. Solomon talks about the covenant with God, that God made with David, which is now being fulfilled with Solomon, that there would be one who would sit on the throne, a son who was going to come and was going to sit on the throne after David. This goes back to 2 Samuel, where we read this promise made to David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I'll raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever. So Solomon here is praising God again for his steadfast love and how he was actually the result of that promise to his father David. He was the son who was now going to go on the throne, who was going to build this great temple for God. And then Solomon, after he praises, begins to express his needs. He says he is but a little child. It's interesting. Solomon's about 20 years old at this moment, yet he recognizes his dependence and need for the Lord. He says, I don't know how to go out or to come in, and it's a humble moment for this man. He admits that he doesn't know how to lead this people, this great multitude. Before him was this huge nation that God had created, another promise that's being fulfilled that was made to Abraham. Back when God told Abraham he was going to make a great nation, I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Solomon recognizes he has a need here. He's given an important role to lead a nation, but he can't do it on his own strength or abilities. That's his humility at this moment. So he makes a request. Remember, the Lord appeared to him and said, ask, what shall I give you? The answer he gives him is seen in two different texts. So this prayer is actually found in 1 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to read 1 Kings 3:9, and I'm also going to read 2 Chronicles 1:10. So this is how Solomon responds. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people? 2 Chronicles says, give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and to come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? Solomon is praying for wisdom. What is wisdom? I like this definition I found. It's the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is the ability to see something from God's viewpoint. Wisdom is that application of knowledge. Knowledge isn't wisdom. There are a lot of smart people who are not wise and who are fools. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Solomon wants to know, how do I govern this great nation? He wants to have an understanding mind, which actually can be translated as an understanding or a hearing heart, one that's quick to listen. Lord, teach me. Lord, help me to know what to do. He expands his request. Help me to know between the difference between good and evil, to carefully distinguish between truth and error. Think about his great humility, the king coming before the Lord, asking for help to lead his people. He wasn't relying on his great strength, his great knowledge, or even his family heritage. His strength is found in prayer. As one said from old, prayer is the mightiest weapon that God has placed in our hands. Do you believe that? God used Solomon, though, in other ways to talk about wisdom, or to teach us, I should say, about the importance of wisdom throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is often called the wisdom book. Listen to how Solomon writes about wisdom. Proverbs 3:13-14, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver and her profit better than gold. Proverbs 4, 5 to 6, get wisdom, get insight, do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. Proverbs 2, 68, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice and watching over the way of his saints. There is much value in seeking after wisdom. Wisdom's important to live well in this crazy world. It's a rare quality in this world, especially with many of our leaders who lead our nation, right? We need it throughout our life personally, though. Don't we need wisdom? We all live this life in a fallen world, and at some point we're going to have some problems to face. Family problems, work challenges, financial struggles, health struggles. Hopefully not all at once, but sometimes difficulties come in bunches, right? And we need wisdom. What do I do in this moment? We need wisdom on how to parent, how to handle success, and how to handle failure. You can look back on your life and you can see many, many different decisions you have to make, right? And wisdom is needed to live well in this world. We all have different circumstances than Solomon, but we have the same need. Ask what I shall give you. Solomon wanted wisdom, and God responded to him. Listen how God responds. It pleased the Lord in verse 10. Read again. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this wisdom and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what's right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I'll give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has been before you and none shall rise after you. I'll give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. Solomon's prayer pleased the Lord. Solomon did not please the Lord in many areas of his life, but this time he got it right. Why did his request please the Lord? It wasn't selfish. It wasn't used for himself. He wanted wisdom to serve the people he was leading. He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for retribution against his enemies, which he'd have many. But he prayed selflessly. Reminds me a lot of James talking about prayer. James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to ask for our own needs or to ask to enjoy things. There's an attitude of the heart that God is bringing out in Solomon's heart here of how selfless it was in his prayer and how that pleased the Lord. The Lord actually gave Solomon what he didn't ask for, both as riches and honor to enjoy in his life. But think about this for a moment. What if you can pray and know that your prayer pleased the Lord and that he promises to answer your request? Would you pray? Of course you would, right? God doesn't give us a blank check or promise to give us everything we ask for, although he hears all our requests. God often answers many of our requests, but there's one request that God always will fulfill. Solomon asked for the one thing that God has promised to provide, wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. The word of God promises that God will answer if we ask for wisdom. There's only one condition. You have to ask. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests that we have asked of him. Is it not the will of God to give us wisdom? That's what James is telling us. But how does he provide it? This isn't just theological something in our minds. How does he actually give us this wisdom? If it's a promise given to us, how do we receive it? I was thinking about that, how it can come to us in different ways. You can receive wisdom from a wise friend. We can receive wisdom by surrounding ourselves with other wise people. We're shaped by those that we're closest to. We can receive wisdom with trial and error, right? Over experience, over time, that was a good thing to do. Oh, that was not a good thing to do, right? A child looks at fire and is intrigued by it and then touches it and realizes, oh, that's probably not the best thing to do, right? We receive wisdom through the Word of God. We're given a whole wisdom book. Read a proverb a day. There's one for every day of the month, and you'll receive a treasure trove of wisdom. We can receive wisdom directly from God, as Solomon did. Solomon wanted wisdom to lead this great multitude. He wanted a mind to understand and to the ability to discern between good and evil. And the Lord gave him just that, a discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. There would be none like him, none after him, except one would actually exceed him that would be to come. And then God gave him more than he asked for, riches and honor. How gracious was God to Solomon in this moment? Have you ever prayed and received more than you asked for, more than you could have imagined? Our God is a generous God who blesses us with more than we ask for. Solomon prayed for wisdom. He got his answer. But it wasn't long after this event at Gibeon that Solomon would need to put into practice this answer to his prayer of wisdom. So we're going to continue reading, beginning in verse 15 to 28, to see the response of Solomon receiving wisdom. So follow along in verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in this house, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept and laid him at her breast. When I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born. But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours.' The first said, 'No, the dead child is yours and the living child is mine.' Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, 'The one says, "This is my son that is alive and your son is dead." And the other says, 'No, but your son is dead and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice." The first test for Solomon to discern between good and evil in a situation with two prostitutes and a child. Two women give birth to a child in the same home. One of the babies dies and the mother lies on him. And then they argue over who is the true mother. How would Solomon discern? He knew the heart of a mother for a child who would not let the real child die. Solomon wisely governs the people, helping reunite a mother with her child. And all Israel heard about this judgment. They stood in awe of him. But listen to this. Look at the last verse again. They stood in awe of him because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. This was a high point for Solomon, where he used the wisdom of God to judge rightly. And you would think that a wise king like this would live out the rest of his days walking with the Lord, faithful, righteous, with integrity, with truth, and would die with a great legacy. But he was a mixed bag. He was exceedingly wise, and he was the biggest fool on this earth. He loved many foreign women, and later on in his reign, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And what did those women do to his heart? They turned away his heart from the Lord. And he sought after other gods. And his heart was not truly to the Lord, as his heart, that's the heart of his David, his father. That's 1 Kings 11:3-4. I like how one person, though, summarized Solomon's life. Solomon was a lot like us. He loved the Lord as every Christian does, but he also had some other loves in his life, sinful passions that had the power to destroy his spiritual leadership. He did not love the Lord, his God, with all his heart, soul, and strength. While there is some truth to the view that Solomon's life started out more positively spiritually before ending up more negative, the deeper truth is that, like every other believer, he was always as much of a sinner as he was a saint. And we all face the same struggle today. In the famous words of Martin Luther, each of us is simul justus et peccator. That's about all the Latin you'll ever hear from me. At the same time, both righteous and a sinner. Through faith in Christ and on the basis of his perfect life and atoning death, we're perfectly righteous in the sight of God. Yet, for so long as we live in this sinful world, we'll continue to struggle with remaining sin. That means that warning signs of our tragic downfall are present right in our own hearts. The point is this that I want to make. Wisdom does not keep us from sinning, but wisdom leads us to the one who can rescue us from our sin. There's a phrase there right at the end. The wisdom of God was in him to do justice. The wisdom of God was in him so he could lead as the king. As the wisdom Solomon had pointed to his source, God, we have an even greater understanding of wisdom because wisdom points us to Christ. There would be one to come, a different type of king who would be born, who would actually personify wisdom. As our hearts think about today, the first Sunday of Advent, we start to think about the Lord Jesus coming to this world to save us from our sins. The Apostle Paul describes Jesus as this. 1 Corinthians 2:24, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Colossians 2:3, it says this about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is the wisdom of God. That little baby to come was the wisdom of God. Now, Solomon was a wise man, but Christ is the definition of wisdom. Having wisdom in this world without Christ is vanity, but having Christ with wisdom provides us great value to our lives. True wisdom begins with a humble heart that looks to Christ for salvation and for life. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The wise looks to Christ for salvation. Solomon had received wisdom from God, but that wisdom should lead us to Christ and to think about Christ and to look at Christ. The Lord asked him, ask, what shall I give you? What if you were asked that question? Would you add wisdom to that prayer list? Wisdom is a great treasure, And God promises to answer all of our prayers when we seek wisdom. Yes, we pray for wisdom to live our lives for the glory of God. And having wisdom to live godly and effectively in this world is essential. But wisdom is not ultimate. Wisdom points us to the ultimate one, Jesus Christ. God has given us Christ, who is the wisdom of God, and in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When we pray for wisdom and we think about Christ, we're actually receiving Christ when we're praying for it. That's what we truly want. It's not about us. It's about looking to Christ, who is truly the wise one who can make us wise. God has given us Christ, who is the wisdom of God and in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. He's given us his word that points us back to Christ and makes us wise for salvation through faith in him. If you don't know Christ, if your sins have not been forgiven, would you look to Christ today? For those of us who know him, let us look to Christ, who can provide wisdom for today as we await our eternal home with him, that we may say the same as 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Wisdom is important, but wisdom is not our ultimate goal. Christ is. So pray for wisdom. Look to Christ, in whom there is much gain for this life and the life to come. Do you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that always points us back to Christ. As we think about prayer and the prayer for wisdom and how important that is for us to live lives for your glory, we do want that, Lord, in our lives. But we don't want wisdom for ourselves. We want wisdom because it points us back to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want him more than anything. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know your son, that you would open up their hearts to see Christ for all of his fullness, Lord. As we begin this season of the baby being born, Jesus coming as a Savior to save us from our sins, Lord, prepare our hearts for the upcoming weeks as we think about Christ and the great and wonderful gift we have in him. We thank you for your word and all the blessings it brings to our life. By your Spirit, bring to mind your words to our hearts. Apply your word to our lives so that we may live lives for your glory, looking to our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen.